Unaffected by the virus is Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, and she is here now joining us for another round of Talking Books. How are you? It's been a while, I feel like.
I'm fine, and yes, maybe it has been.
Yeah.
No, we were here last week, weren't we?
I wasn't.
Oh, that's right.
I was.
And when you're not here, I'm not here, Aaron.
Yeah, I know.
It has been a while.
That's good.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Busy times at the library, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it always is, but
it's always busy. And funny you should say that, because I was just trying to search. I was pulling up our fabulous marketing dude, Daniel, sends out our e-news. And, like, I generally know what's coming up and what's going on. And then every now and then, he'll send one out. And we send him about every 2 weeks. If you're not on the list, you should come to our website and join it. He sends one out, and I'm just like, holy guacamole. There's a lot of stuff happening at the joint that I have the pleasure to lead. And one of those was last week. So we've got a lot of things going on. And this past weekend, oh, my gosh, we had Patty Postage from The Quilters on 2 weeks ago.
She was great.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
She actually read a book to prepare for the show. I was like,
who does that? I mean,
So 2 weeks ago, we had a pop-up show and sale at the old Ackland space, the old Ackland gift store space downstairs. 109 East Franklin Street. And then last weekend, they did a full-on quilt exhibit at the library. So I stopped by on Saturday. And of course, like, I'm running errands on Saturday. I'm in, like, basically my PJs. I'm going to the gym.
Right.
And I literally just poked my head in just to, like, say hi. And then they just enveloped me with quilts and said, come in. So I'm at the library looking like I just got out of bed, but enthralled by these quilts. So they had room B was just full of quilts. They were amazing. And they were different quilts from the Ackland thing. And then the lobby, they just took it over. So they had tables set up where kids could, like, be quilting. They had, like, a name the quilt pattern quiz. I mean, the whole thing. It was just awesome.
Awesome.
It was an awesome group. And then we have more of that stuff coming up. So last night we had Jagetto Teresh Pipkins, who's doing a puppet workshop that's really aimed at kids with special needs. So that's his background. He was a teacher at a school for kids with special needs. That was awesome. We've got more bird count programs coming up. So the big bird watch is happening. So there's a family-friendly bird watching event this weekend. Next weekend, we have UNC professor and my neighbor, I recently learned, Billy Andrews, coming and talking about his new book about slavery.
Awesome.
It's
very
just jam-packed.
Yeah.
And there's even more that I'm not even mentioning.
What is a family-unfriendly bird-watching event look like?
I think that involves flipping the bird.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. As long as we have an answer to that question, that's all
right.
I know. So much going on at the Chapel Hill Public Library. So check out the website for that. What are we going to talk about today in terms of recommending books?
Well, it's March Madness,
of course.
Have you done your bracket?
I have, yes. I'm excited. I've got Carolina and Duke meeting in the final, which, sooner or later, the year is going to come when that happens. It hasn't yet, and, like, every time it rolls around and the teams get closer and closer and closer, that level of apprehension always rises. Because as soon as that day comes, first of all, it's going to be the biggest day in Chapel Hill and Durham history.
In world history, I would say.
In world history, yeah. And then the rivalry is going to be just a little bit different from that point on, because one of those teams will have won and one of those teams will have lost, and that's just bragging rights forever.
Do you think it's
going to
be this year?
I think it might be this year.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm kind of sorry that I wasn't around in 91, which was the other year that they both made the Final Four, and then didn't quite make the final, but it almost happened that one year, and I could not imagine what it would be like to have been in Chapel Hill and Durham at that time, but I'm sure it was ridiculous. It's always ridiculous.
It is.
It pretty much is. So we're talking about March Madness.
Yes, and so I did my bracket.
Yes.
And
yeah,
you know,
you
my
got?
Outcome is similar to yours.
Okay.
Except I've got UNC versus my VT Hokies.
Nice,
in the championship.
Deb Stroman said the same thing earlier this hour.
Not.
No, she did. She's
Tech
got
and UNC
she's
in
got
the final?
Virginia Tech. Well, she didn't say the final, but she's got Tech in the Final Four. She's got Tech
I
over Deb. Duke.
I mean,
yeah.
I've always loved Deb, but I love her even more now. And, of course, I've got Tech winning. I mean, I'm a UNC fan most of the time, but ultimately. But I will say, every year, so we do a non-monetary competitive bracket thing at work, and you often win things. Like, I think last year the winner got like a glitter covered stapler or something.
Okay.
It's kind of goofy, right?
Yeah.
But one of my colleagues, she did hers today, and she was picking it by alphabetic. So like each team pairing, whichever came first in the alphabet, that's who goes forward. Often in the past, I've chosen mine by teams I like saying. Villanova.
Villanova's
Gonzaga,
good.
Gonzaga.
Yes.
St. Bonaventure.
Yes.
Those types of things. But the best is picking brackets with my younger son. So last year, I will say, he was one of probably 20 people in the country that had UMBC beating UVA in the first round.
Was there any rhyme or reason to that when he picked it, or did he just make a decision?
A deep-seated hatred for UVA.
All right, That works.
And I will say that when that happened last year, my entire family has UMBC gear.
Oh,
we
I'm sure.
We all have T-shirts.
I'm sure, yeah.
So this year, we're going to be rooting for Gardner Webb. All the way. But he also picks it like sort of like, it's a little bit interesting. It's kind of Game of Thrones-ish. Like, you know what? This one time, this one person did something I didn't like, and they went to this school, so I'm going to pick that school to lose. And he's got this very complex way of doing it. But he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Every year, his bracket, it's pretty good.
So it's like a cycle of really accurate revenge, then?
Yeah.
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 Oh, that's... That's real scary.
We'll see how he does. But like me, he's got Virginia Tech and UNC.
I like that.
In the championship.
I like
that. So March Madness, books.
Awesome. Cool. So what do we got? March Madness could mean a bunch of things. It could mean basketball. It could mean tournaments. It could mean upsets or excitement or anything else.
So I didn't do any of those things,
cool.
Aaron. At least not for my first book. Thank you for the setup. And no.
All right.
So for my first book, I went as literal as you could possibly go. Actually, for my first two books. So the first book that I want to recommend is actually called March.
All right.
Not the John Lewis book, which is awesome.
Yes.
But I'm going to recommend March by Geraldine Brooks. So Geraldine, and this book won the Pulitzer or Pulitzer. Where did we land on that?
I think it won both, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It won both
really
of those
book,
awards.
Yeah. So
she's a fabulous author. She wrote Year of Wonders and The Secret Chord and The People of the Book. But March is a book that takes little women and tell the character in this story is the father.
Okay.
Who is absent, of course, in the book, and he's off in the Civil War. So it is really, if you like historical fiction, if you like those stories that take a character or an event from a different book and kind of riff on them, it's really, really wonderful. She's a fabulous writer. It's very sort of lush and rich and atmospheric and compelling read. So March by Geraldine Brooks.
Was that the year that, wasn't there an E.L. Doctorow book called The March that came out
yes,
the same year and people were talking about
that's
that
right.
And then Geraldine Brooks won the award instead?
You got
it. Yeah.
And I don't remember what that book was about, but you're right.
Yeah.
And then just a couple years later, March by John Lewis, which is the graphic novel
exactly.
came out.
Yeah.
So it's a popular title.
It really is.
Yeah.
All right. So I went basketball for my first pick, and I'm going with Seth Davis's book, which came out 10 years ago-ish, called When March Went Mad, which is about the 1979 NCAA tournament, which featured the final between Michigan State and Indiana State, which was Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and the first time that they had ever met, and both of them were just these way hyped up college basketball stars who eventually went on to be Hall of Fame pros. But it was the first time that they'd met each other on the court. It was this hyped up game. Michigan State was this huge favorite, and Indiana State was this tiny little team that had gone all the way. And Michigan State won. But the bigger story, the biggest story is Michigan State winning because that's my team. But other than that, this is when the NCAA tournament just goes to a whole new level, and it starts to become the phenomenon that it is today. And it's all about what happens on the court, but also like the process of becoming a phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a great book. And that's a book where I actually found at the last Friends book sale, shameless plug,
yes.
That's coming up in a couple weeks. Somebody just offloaded their entire shelf of sort of popular nonfiction on basketball, especially college basketball, and I just bought a box full for my older son, who's about. That one is so good, and that's a book that also is written for adults, but he's 14, mm-hmm. very readable. If you've got a teenager who's into basketball, it's such a good book.
Awesome.
Really, really good book.
Yeah.
Okay, so March Madness. The second book that I want to recommend is literally about madness. So I want to recommend, this book's been out forever. Lots of people have read it, I'm sure, but I think it's going to be made into a film soon. I want to recommend a book called The Professor and the Madman, A Tale of Murder, Insanity, and the Making of the Oxford English Dictionary by Simon Winchester. You're nodding. Have you read this
book? This is a great story.
Such a good book,
yeah.
Right? So Simon Winchester is a great author who writes very readable literary nonfiction about history and great characters. So this is a book about the making of the Oxford English Dictionary, which is fascinating. It began in like 1857, and it took them forever to finish it. So it talks about how you create a dictionary at this scale, but also the characters that were in it. And there was one man who submitted all of these definitions. And he was sort of, they had this years of correspondence between the main, Dr. Murray, who was the main project manager, as we might call it now, for the OED. And his name, the person who was contributing was Dr. Minor. And he had submitted all of these definitions. And they want to recognize him for his work. And it turns out that he's like in a insane or in a, he's in a, an asylum for the criminally
insane. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, so I just gave a major spoiler, but it's such a good book and it's so fascinating.
I mean, the title is The Professor and the Madman. So
right.
It's
so
in there somewhere. Right.
If you know who the professor is.
Yes. Then the madman is kind of next. But it wasn't even just definitions, right? It was the etymology and all
yes.
of the things that you associate with the OED and going back and tracing the history of all of these words. And that's a fascinating story just in and of itself, but it also like gives you a lot of insight into how dictionaries get written in the first place. Because I think just a dictionary is something that we take for granted. Like we had one growing up on our bookshelves and now you just hop online and go to dictionary.com and oh yeah, just here's the word, here's the definition. But to put that together is a massive undertaking, and this book goes into that as well.
And so, yes, and I just checked, and it's a movie. I can't tell if it's been out. So The Professor and the Madman, it says 2019, and it's got Mel Gibson and Sean Penn in it.
I feel like if it
what?
Had come out, we would already know. That
right.
That's got to be like a November
and Natalie Dormer
award season release kind of thing.
This looks like a great cast. So how on point are we to be talking about this book right now when the movie's apparently coming out
God,
soon?
God, did they cast Mel Gibson as the madman or Sean Penn? I feel like there's two madmen and no professors in that cast.
Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. So look for that soon. And before
All right.
the movie comes out, I encourage you to read or reread that book because it's a good one.
Cool. My second one and my last one, and then I'll turn it over to you for the rest of it. I went with Upsets for my March Madness related prompt, and there's a really, really good book by Les Krantz, also from about a little more than 10 years ago in this case, called Dark Horses and Underdogs, which is about all of the, not basketball specific, but all of the greatest sports upsets of all time. So I think there's a chapter in there about Seabiscuit winning Horse of the Year and the 1980 U.S. hockey team and all of just the 1969 Mets beating the Orioles in the World Series and all of these just great upsets in sports history that just sort of define the 20th century, particularly in American sports. And this is a book about all of that. And it's really cool to read now because what's the first round of the NCAA tournament if not rooting for like UMBC to beat
right.
Virginia and teams like that?
Well, I was also going to say that sounds like a really good book to turn to when Virginia Tech beats UNC in the
championship. Of course, yes.
I can't even
Or
get
when
it
Virginia
out.
Tech beats Duke in the Sweet 16.
There you go,
which,
right. Either
yeah.
way.
When Virginia Tech beats UNC in the national championship game, that's when you turn to when bad things happen to good people.
That's right. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. So that's what
okay.
I got.
Gosh. So I'm going to close it out. There's so many. So I really wanted to end my third book with an actual book about basketball.
Okay.
And then because I live in a household with a teenager who is basketball obsessed, mm-hmm. I spend many, many afternoons and evenings and weekends in a gym somewhere in the Triangle area. We talk about basketball. I have like score alerts on my phone. Mm-hmm. I often pretend like I know more about some of the technical aspects of it. I mean, we talk basketball a lot. So I've probably talked about him before, but I can never recommend him enough. Kwame Alexander is an African-American author who writes in a range or on a range of topics, but he's probably most known for his books about basketball and young men and women. And the great thing about him is he writes, generally speaking, in free verse, which is, I think we often think, oh, kids aren't going to read a novel in verse. Let me tell you, kids eat up novels in verse. So his books include The Rebound. He wrote one about the Playbook, which is kind of like a inspirational book for kids. There's Booked. There's The Crossover. They're all fabulous. Then he's got a whole other series that are more focused on music. But Kwame Alexander, give that book to a kid, boy, girl, middle school, high school, even if they think they don't like basketball, I almost guarantee you they will love that book.
Awesome.
There
and then you,
have you
start talking about basketball and eventually you become an expert on it, right?
There you go.
I'm pretty sure all expertise is just people just making it up until they become the experts,
Fake it
right?
till you make it.
Exactly. And that's Talking Books for this week. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.